Our scripture this morning comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. Let's pray.
Come, let us dream God's dream again. Come one and all, let us ascend the mountaintop with those of old, so God's new day on earth unfold.
Amen. How do you like my new sandals? These sandals are the latest product of Cass Green Industries, which is a division of Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. These sandals are made out of old seat belts and 139 square miles of illegally dumped tires in the city of Detroit. And on the back, there is the iconic letter D. It's really cool. These sandals sell for $25. From Cass Community Social Services. They were just introduced in July. Orders have been pouring in from all over the country. And our own seminary student, Cora Glass, played a big role in getting this website up and running. Reverend Faith Fowler started Cass Community Social Services, actually Cass Green Industries, which is a division of social services, in 2007 as a way to help the city, help the planet, and help homeless and disabled people in Detroit. Cass Green Industries now has 80 employees. In addition to the sandals, they have a mud mat program where these 139 square miles of rejected tires are used in order to make these attractive and lovely mud mats. Now, the result is that neighborhoods are cleaned up, trash and rodents that are attracted to the tires are eliminated, and the tires stay out of the landfill and are recycled. But there's more. Cass Green Industries has a program where they make sets of coasters out of recycled glass and repurposed wood. There's a document destruction program where corporate clients bring their sensitive documents to Cass. They are shredded and recycled. And in 2010, Cass Green Industries introduced what may arguably be the nation's first green gym for homeless men, women, and children. Electricity producing stationary bikes helped the facility be eco-friendly as well as cost-effective. And guess what? You're all part of these exciting ministries at Cass Community Social Services because First United Methodist Church is a primary supporter of Faith Fowler and her visionary leadership. You are the ones to help these programs become amazing and sustainable ministries in the city of Detroit, and you are the ones who've had faith the size of a mustard seed that has now grown into mountains so large that we're not only moving those mounds of tires to cast to be made into sandals and mud mats, but we're changing the city and the world. The stakes are high in our world today. The needs are so great, the problem so complex, the solution so challenging that it's tempting at times to just throw up our hands and give up. Yet God calls us to imagine what can be, risk all, and work for the day when God's kingdom comes in all of its fullness in every corner of our world. But the stakes are high in the church as well. Most people in our country today don't go to church on Sunday morning or any other day of the week. This is not the 1950s anymore. Christians are becoming a minority, churches are declining, and it takes a lot of faith, courage, and innovation to reach out to people with the good news of Jesus Christ, especially our young people. Because the stakes are so high, many of our struggling churches do exactly opposite of what they need to do. They withdraw into themselves and simply focus on survival. By contrast, churches that are thriving are able to risk failure, try new things, and move outside their building to meet and serve people where they live, work, and play. Playing it safe is no longer an option for First United Methodist Church or any other church. If we don't practice the merciful, justice-seeking, and inclusive love of Jesus Christ, who will? That's exactly what our disciples learned in this scripture for this morning. The context of Matthew 17 is that Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer and die and rise on the third day. The disciples are shocked. Right after that, Jesus takes his most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain where Jesus is transfigured before their very sight. Jesus' clothes become dazzling white. His face shines like the sun. And Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. Well, Peter is totally geeked by this. And he says, Lord, this is amazing. Let's just stay up here. I'm going to build three cabins, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. As Peter blithely prattles on, a voice from heaven says, Yo, Peter, this is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. You see, Peter wants to stay up there on the mountain where it's nice and safe. The stakes are too high back down there on earth. Why would anybody want to go back down? After all, Jesus just told them he was going to have to suffer and die. Well, Matthew says that Jesus then touches Peter, James, and John and says, we're not going to stay on the mountain. We're going to move the mountain. It's time to go back down. Don't be afraid. So they all trek back down the mountain where the crowds are waiting for Jesus. A man steps out of the crowd and says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic and suffers terribly. He's always falling into the fire and also into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Remember, Peter, James, and John have just had this mountaintop experience with Jesus. But now they're all right back down in the valley of human need. In Jesus' day, anyone who was an epileptic or had a disease or a physical or mental infirmity was thought to be possessed by a demon. So how does Jesus respond to the man's request for healing? He says something stunning. You faithless and perverse generation, how long do I have to be with you? How much longer do I have to put up with you? Whoa, who's Jesus going off on with those harsh words? It's not the Father. He came in faith seeking healing. It's not the disciples, because Jesus never called the disciples with the word generation. No, Jesus is referring to the entire nation of Israel. The epileptic boy is the symbol of a demon-infested world where Satan is in charge because of human sin. When Jesus says, "How long do I have to be with you?" he's hearkening back to God's words to the Israelites in the wilderness centuries before. And God says, "How long will this wicked generation murmur and put me to the test rather than trust in my protection?" After Jesus' lament, he asks the Father to come forward with the boy. He rebukes the demon. The demon comes out. The boy is instantly cured. Chagrined, the disciples corner Jesus and say, "How'd you do that, Jesus? I mean, really? Why couldn't we cure that boy? You taught us how to heal." And Jesus says, "It's because of your little faith. For I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you say to the mountain, 'Move from here to here,' it will move. For nothing will be impossible for you." This story is really not about the father. It's not about the boy. It's about the disciples, and it's about you and me. The father demonstrated faith, but the disciples had difficulty curing the boy. In contrast to the nation of Israel, which Jesus described as faithless, the disciples do have faith, but it's a weak faith. Moving a mountain in Jesus' day was a metaphor for doing what seems to be impossible. And so when Jesus talks about faith the size of a mustard seed, he's not saying that you and I only need a little bit of faith. He's saying that the insignificance of faith, from the world's perspective, can reap amazing and impossible results. Jesus indicates to the disciples that their faith needs to be strengthened through exercise and practice. So it is for you and me. How do we get the kind of faith that will move mountains? How can you and I become the kind of Christ followers who can do the impossible? My good friend John Wesley continues to instruct me in matters of faith and also in my Christian life. Now, last year at this time, I told you that there is a portrait of John Wesley in the hallway outside the church office that is always speaking to me. Now, I'm not kidding. John Wesley speaks to me through this picture. Now, John Wesley is the founder of our Methodist faith. He lived in England in the 18th century, was an Anglican priest. Last year, around this time, John Wesley began asking me this question whenever I passed by this portrait. "Psst, Laurie, got fruit?" Wesley was reminding me of our call here at First United Methodist Church to bear fruit in our community and around the world. Well, this year, John Wesley has started speaking to me again. See, his eyes are following me. It's really an interesting portrait. And he's saying, "Psst, Laurie, got faith? The stakes are high in our world today. People desperately need to know the love of Christ. Laurie, preach faith until you have it, and practice faith until you can move mountains." In 1738, John Wesley was having a crisis of faith. A couple years before, he got on a boat and came over here to the New World, to the colony of Georgia. His goal was to evangelize the Native Americans and convert them to Christianity. It was a complete and utter disaster. For one thing, John Wesley had no idea how to relate to the Native peoples in our land. He was way too demanding and judgmental. For another thing, John Wesley had a failed romance with a woman named Sophie Hopke, who just happened to be the daughter of a local political boss in Savannah, Georgia, where he lived. It wasn't good. So, 2 years later, Wesley got on a boat, went back to England. He was burned out, discouraged. He wasn't even sure about his call or his faith, but most of all, he couldn't seem to grasp this idea that he was not saved by anything that he did. but only by God's grace. Wesley went to his friend and mentor, the Moravian missionary Peter Berler, and he asked him, "How do you preach faith to others when you don't have faith yourself? Should I just stop preaching?" "By no means," Berler said, "but then what should I preach?" "Preach faith until you have it. And then because you have it, you'll preach faith." So began Wesley's incredible journey of faith that has moved mountains and inspired generations of people to preach and practice faith until they get it. What happened after Bowler's experience is that he experimented preaching to a man named Clifford, who was on death row. Previously, Wesley just couldn't accept the fact that anybody could have an authentic deathbed conversion, especially a prisoner. Now, Wesley realized that the stakes were too high to withhold God's grace from anyone. And that marked the change in Wesley's life. And he started the Wesleyan movement that continues strong to this day. That faith is in each one of you. It's part of who you are. It's part of how God fearfully and wonderfully created you. All God asks of you is that you practice that faith, even if you're not sure exactly what or if you believe. As Wesley would say, practice faith until you have it. And then when you have it, you'll practice faith. Live like a Christian until Christ lives in you. In other words, keep on keeping on. God is calling you and me and First United Methodist Church to move mountains. All it takes is a tiny mustard seed. All it takes is John Wesley or a friend or a church member or a family member to say, "Psst, John, Caitlin, Stephanie, Zach, you have a call. You have gifts. You have passion. Friends, the faith is in you. So let it out. Let it shine. Keep moving those mountains. All it takes is three little things. First, claim your faith. Did you know that every person here this morning is going to have to make a decision at some point in your lives about Jesus? Are you going to say yes to Jesus or not? Are you going to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me," or are you going to walk away? The stakes are incredibly high, my friends, especially for our youth. We are so blessed here at First Church to have an outstanding and intentional program of spiritual formation and mission and outreach and music for children from toddlers all the way through college. If you and I don't transmit our faith to this next generation, who's going to do it? Our youth yearn for faith, and they're looking at us. They want us to teach them how to move mountains. They want us to model for them how they too can do the impossible. Psst. Got faith? Then claim it. Second, practice your faith. Don't stay up on the mountain like Peter wanted to. Move the mountain. All it takes is a mustard seed. Just start. Form spiritual practices like attending church regularly or finding a place to serve in the church or going out into your community to love and care for the very least of God's children. The stakes are so high that how each one of you practices your faith is critical. When God takes even the tiny mustard seeds of our faith and empowers us to do the impossible by bringing healing and hope to our world, others notice and they want to be a part of it. Psst. Got faith? Then practice it. And then last, grow in your faith. What happens when a mustard seed isn't cultivated? It doesn't grow. And what happens when a mustard seed doesn't grow? It doesn't survive. Carefully and lovingly tend to your own spiritual life, because we're all on a faith journey until we die. The stakes are too high to wait until you get faith perfectly right. Even when God doesn't seem to do what you think God should do in your life or in this world, don't for a minute believe that your faith is not authentic or that you cannot move mountains or that you cannot do the impossible. Just have faith and claim it, practice it, and grow in it. Move those mountains of illegally dumped tires in Detroit to Cassett and make them into sandals and mud mats so we can change the city. Move those mountains of prejudice and fear and environmental neglect and despair and hopelessness so that all of God's children can live a whole and healthy life. The stakes are too high to have a small vision. Psst. Got faith? Then don't just stay on the mountain. Move the mountain. Let us pray.
The lame shall walk.